Ho.
Did you start the episode with ho?
right as it counted down, it like froze for a second, and Riverside goes, "We can't connect your video." And then I thought I froze out. And then as soon as that left my mouth, it was like, "We're back, idiot, baited." All right. Welcome back to a long awaited episode of Keep 100 with Dakota and Chorsey. I'm Dakota.
And I'm Chorsey.
And Riverside is already starting problems with us. But hey, here we are. It's been a minute. It's been a couple weeks since you last heard us. How are y'all doing?
Oh, man. It's been about a month, bro.
Yeah, it's been. It's felt like a year, dude.
It's been busy.
Yeah.
Like, believe me, it's not from lack of trying.
I feel like I've been aging so fast.
Honestly, adulthood is kicking our ass, and like, I want a refund.
Yo, take me out. Hey, Mom, you know when you used to yell at me at the grocery store and say, "I brought you into this world, I'll take you out"?
I'm ready.
I want to cash that in. Let's do it.
Give me. No, seriously, this whole, like, waking up, going to work, paying bills. Bro, and then people be creating bills. Like, when I opened up the mail and people were like, "Oh, you owe this from 6 years ago." And I'm like, "Bitch, no, I don't. I don't think
I do. If you need that money that bad for 6 years, you ain't getting it back."
I got hit with, I got my Dexcom, the little sensor that I wear for my diabetes. Mm-hmm. And I placed an order back in October. And then the service that I use, the mail pharmacy, never contacted me about a bill. And I went to go place a new order a couple weeks ago. And these bitches were like, "Oh, you can't get a new order because you owe us some money." So I went to go pay the balance. Tell me why it's $1,300. And I'm like, y'all didn't once even try to collect, not an email, not a phone call, not a letter in the mail. And now you just want this money from me? Like, you think I have this sitting around?
That is crazy. Like, do they let you bill through insurance?
That was after my insurance. They're claiming that the payments after the insurance came 5 months later, and that was the difference.
Yeah, I'm like, but an itemized receipt. That's crazy, dude.
But I have the paperwork when they sent me the actual Dexcom that specifically states that there was no charge for it.
That's wild.
And there's something weird happening because, like, the order number is the same, but according to that, the place that's showing me that I owe the money now, it says the order was placed on November 2nd, something like that. When it wasn't, it was placed on like October 31st. I had done it on Halloween because this was when, and that was the last day of validity for my insurance because oh shit, I can't take bleep that.
Whatever.
But yeah, that was my last day at the ice cream shop. So I couldn't order after that. That's why it was done on the 31st. So I'm like, and it never had issues before that with my insurance. I'm not sure why. So maybe they're not getting my money.
Yeah.
I'll die from diabetes before they're getting
my money. Yikes, that's dark. That's America for you. Love a country made. Let's be real. This country was made by white Europeans that were really, like, driven out of Europe because everyone hated them. Like, let's remember the Puritans who created this nation, right? It explains a lot. Our center is, like, conservative in any other, like, European country.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, the conservative parties of, like, the UK is farther left than our, like, establishment Democrats. That's the country we live in.
Bro, fuck this place.
It's so crazy.
But well, we love it. I was at when I was at Ohio State's graduation. So I went because my friend Nika got her doctorate.
Nice.
And I had this weird, I kind of had this internal struggle. Let's use those words that artists use, right?
Okay,
an internal dialogue. Because someone started singing the national anthem, and it was actually a premature performance based on what I understand happened, because we weren't supposed to be able to hear the mic check, but we heard the mic check because no one announced it was going to happen. We just heard the music playing and heard the singer singing, and everyone just shot up in the stand.
You got to be ready for America any second.
It was kind of wild how like everyone just immediately shot up. But then I was like, do I really want to? And so I spent the entire time during the Pledge of Allegiance, or not the Pledge of Allegiance, the national anthem, both the first and second time, just being like, how do I feel about America? You guys had
two Star Spangled Banners?
We did, yes. They did one before the ceremony accidentally, and they did one because whoever was running the sound, I don't know why Ohio State struggles so much with running sound cues. It should not be. Get the theater department to do it. Like, it should not be that difficult. Honestly, to
understand. And Jim retired, so who knows what's going on over there.
Oh my God, Jim did retire.
I miss him. He retired after my year. A lot of people retired after my year.
Yeah, I got. Did you get the message from
Yeah.
About the musical theater.
Yeah.
No. I don't care about that. We knew that. That was common sense.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, what? That was not new. Right, I don't know where the fuck you've been, but that was not new to anyone but you. It's okay. Christ. It's fine. No, not that. Not the musical theater minor.
Two more people
retired, and I was sent a message from one of the professors to like send a message of and pictures.
No one said that to me.
Yeah. I'll forward you the message of who it's from and who it is. The issue is that the two people who it's pertaining to, I have zero relationship with from my experience at Ohio State. So I didn't know what to say. From my understanding, one was an alcoholic and had to disappear for a while because they were an alcoholic.
I think I know who that is.
Okay. Yeah. And then the other, I mean, I think she worked on One Man, Two Governors for me, I think. I'm not 100% sure. I don't remember. But yeah, the one person in particular was like, I literally, who are you? Never had a class, never did a production. I don't know. And like, it's like, buddy, I'm having a hard time celebrating myself right now.
Yeah, I don't care about you.
And let's be honest, like, especially the past month has been so wild. Your boy is back in therapy, thank God, because it has been such a wild emotional ride of some highs and some lows. My therapist is trying to encourage me to get back into dating, and I'm fighting him tooth and nail. I called my therapist the N-word a couple of days ago because I
what was that? That was over Mario Party, right?
It was.
Sounds like he should have known, honestly. Like,
because okay, so let me explain this. Okay. So my therapist.
Let's start with this. Like, everyone who's played games with Chorsey knows where this is about to go. It doesn't matter what the game is. Like, let's be real. Now go ahead.
My therapist asked me, he's like, so how have things been going for you mentally? And I was like, well, as a good basis, I just rage quit Mario Party. And to be fair, it's because fucking Donkey Kong cheats, bro. This motherfucker cheats, and I hate it. I hate it, and it's so blatant in your face. And they're just like, you can't do shit about it. I'm like, you know what? Fuck you. So my therapist goes on to be like, oh, he loves this game. It's such a cute little fun thing to play with his family. And before my brain could stop myself, I went, nigga, who? And then it clicked. What I just said and who I said it to.
He should know. Don't apologize. He made this. It's your therapy session. He made it about him. Fuck him.
First of all, I've never heard a more blasphemous statement in my life. Mario Party is not a cute and fun game just to play with your family. It is rage-inducing. It's not fun. I was this past Sunday. I was playing with Tyler because he came over to my house and we played like two games of it. And by halfway through the first game, I looked at him and was like, I am not having fun. This is not fun. And I ended up in last place. And he's like, bro, we got to run it back because we lost against computers. And I'm like, I don't want to. I don't want to do this anymore. So we ran it back. And the entire time, and I was like, this is bullshit.
It always sucks. It's almost embarrassing losing against computers.
God, I mean, to be fair, they were the master computers. We didn't put them on the hardest setting, but like, still, it's just... I'm so mad. Like, at the end of the first game, I ended up flipping my chair. I threw this like empty little Tupperware box. I broke, you know, my little Ariana Grande Eevee poster. Yeah. She's broken,
dude. What the hell?
I don't know what happened. I don't remember. I don't know if I hit her and she fell off the wall or if I had thrown her, but the little hook that hangs her is no longer attached to the box. So she can no longer be hung up now.
Your therapist know this. He's going to make you stop playing that game.
Never. And this is me sober. I started drinking because of the first game.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
I really did. Like, after the first game, I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm tired of this. So I just started getting the Malibu rum and just started drinking out the bottle. I'm like, I can't do this anymore. So yeah, that's where my mental health is at. And oddly enough, I feel like I'm in one of the better shapes of my mental stability in my life.
That is so scary. That is so frightening, dude. Tyler's probably like, yeah, I gotta go.
Well, and I think it's just because for me, I felt like it's always been healthier if I let it out and let it go. I feel like kind of like us when we're doing escape rooms, it's when I get quiet and everything just is very demure and held in, that's when things are a problem.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that.
I can openly communicate my frustrations and you should just be thankful that I'm saying it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. Okay.
I don't have anger management issues. You have an issue with my anger. That's a different statement. I'm going to gaslight people about my own anger.
I like that. I'm going to use that from now on. You have an issue with my anger. That's good. Oh, my Lord. You know what you should do when, oh, I almost spoiled it. If you ever visit New York, we should take edibles. I know you've said it before, but like I think it'd just be fun, like have a day where you just chill out.
And this one, like, I don't know if I've been on record saying this. I've never once had an issue or qualm with.
Oh yeah, you've said that a few times. Said it last time. Yeah,
this never really happened. And to be fair, I think it's always just been like a trust thing. Like I have a lot of friends who I'm around who partake. Oh yes, yeah, because we just did Happy Pot Day.
Yeah. Damn. Like, who the fuck calls it Pot Day? Yeah. It's like Pot Day. Yeah.
But yeah, it's always just been a comfort thing of like who I'm around, because I think there's a difference between people who are trying to get me to partake just to see me high versus people who are like, if you're comfortable with it, do it, you know? So it's just been kind of that balance. And
yeah, I'm sure if you ever visit, Victoria and I can always like be in a safe space.
I miss Victoria.
Oh, she misses you so bad.
I texted her a couple of days ago. It was so nice just to be like, hi, you. I hope you're doing good.
Anytime you text her, she's like, guess who texted me? She like tries to show off. I'm like, yeah, okay. So did he text you? She's like, did you text Dean? I was like, yes, he's my best friend.
We're so good to like have that relationship with her too. It's so fun. And it was like I walk through like my day and I'm like in a better mood. I'm like, okay,
cool. Yeah. Oh my God, it's gonna go right to her head, dude. Don't even tell her that.
Well, it's gonna be out there for everyone here. So
Oh great. George was Victoria, cool.
Oh man. Y'all. We are recording officially. This is our season finale.
Oh, yeah, we'll tell you this 15 minutes in to the episode. This is our finale. Yeah, this is our finale.
This is the ravioli, give me the formioli of
God.
Bro, hold on. There's been, so, you know, I've gotten back on the world of TikTok, right? I am loving this. What feels like it is an actual artist space. I feel like I've created this like community of seeing all these different artists, whether it's storytellers, it's dancers, it's singers. I've never interacted with an app quite like I enjoy TikTok. It's so good. And then there's just comedians of all different forms and fashions. Yeah. And holy shit, I've gone down the rabbit hole of customer service purge days. Have you seen any of those?
Uh-uh.
It's basically customer service reps, you know, CSRs, people, frontline workers who are just giving the energy that is being given to them.
Oh, I love that. It makes me so happy. It's so cathartic. Oh,
my God. There's this one guy who he does, he's a hotel front desk worker. Mm-hmm. And so like that, those are stories he shares. And he, the way he just be clapping back at people is so comical. And he'll like throw in like SpongeBob memes and references in the middle of it just to piss off these Karens. It's so fucking good.
Oh, that's terrific.
I watch a lot of restaurant TikToks because those are some of the worst people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's because it's because you're literally being served and goes right to people's heads. Like some people are so fucking nuts when they go in public.
Yeah, because they don't realize it's just modernized slavery.
I don't think being a waitress is the same thing as slavery, Tracy. But you know, that's not a line that I can create. You know? So I put in my two cents that I don't agree with you.
It was the tongue click before you spoke.
I was like, you know, agree to disagree. Okay, maybe tip culture. Yeah, you shouldn't pay people $2 an hour and expect your customers to give them a living wage. I agree with you there. But
there's one video from this girl named Tay.
Oh, I know her.
Who?
No, I don't.
I was like, I don't mean maybe. One of the ones about tip was that she was serving this customer. She had done the initial greeting, and a customer was like arguing with her friend about if they're going to tell her this message, whatever this little secret message was going to be. And so the friend finally is like, if you don't say it, I will. And Tay is like, what's up? And she's like, we just want to let you know that we don't believe in tipping, so we won't be tipping today. And Tay was like, oh, okay. And then walks away. And then immediately is like, y'all need to find a new server because it will not be me.
That's beautiful.
And then
it's like, all right, expect the worst service you've ever had in your entire life.
Yes, exactly. And she was, because the customer was like, I thought, you know, if I was upfront about it, then like it would be okay. And she was like, no, thank you so much for letting me know. That way I don't waste my time on you. I'll give my priorities to the people who will actually be paying me for the effort and service I'm providing for them.
Yeah.
It's like, yes.
So people are so full of themselves and so stupid.
Yeah. I didn't realize just how many Karens. Oh, I got into an argument with a woman literally named Becky at Meijer. Was this yesterday or 2 days ago?
God, that's the young Karen. Becky's become Karens. I would know.
Oh.
There it is. There it
is. No. So this, because, okay, look, I understand that. Because there are no mask mandates and because the government or the stores may not be enforcing social distance, you think you could be all up on me. But guess what? I wasn't okay with that shit before the pandemic. Yeah. I'm damn sure not okay with you being that close to me now, okay? Mind you, I'm the type of person who I don't even like being that close to my own partner. These are people who I have been inside and I still don't like to be that close to in public, okay? So
I'm laughing to know it's true.
So if you think that your little random ass could just be 6 inches from me, we're going to have a problem. And so I was listening to Black Magic, as I do, standing in line. We all know this is what I'm going to do with my life.
Yeah.
And so I'm going through the choreo because that's what I do. And this bitch gets upset. And has the nerve to tap me on the shoulder and says, I'm sorry, can you stop moving? And I turned around and was like, excuse me, ma'am, can you back up? I'm not disturbing you. And she was like, well, you're really close to hitting me. And I'm like, then you're too close to me and you need to back the fuck up.
Yeah.
And so she got upset because like, who are you swearing at? And I'm like, you are in my space trying to gaslight me.
It's the audacity to tell you to stop so that she can be closer to you. Like, and some person, like, just mind your own business.
Because she was like, she was upset that I spoke to her that way. And I was like, I'm so sorry that you're a miserable little hag who felt like you needed to come and try to ruin my day because you wanted to stand so close to me. I don't know you. I don't like you. Back the fuck up before I make you back up.
What I love is that, like, it's like, I just want to give you a shirt that says, don't talk to me because I will escalate the situation. If you come to me with a problem, I will make it worse. Like, If I'm not on the clock, I'm not here to help. I am an instigator.
Bro, there was no reason. And I know some of you might be listening, disagreeing, and y'all can go ahead and follow because I don't give a fuck. If you agree with her, you can stop listening. Goodbye. But there was no reason. there was no reason for her to be that close to me. And I did not actually hit her. Yeah. Right. Her claim was I was close enough that I possibly could, but she was into me. So back your ass up.
Like if you're behind someone in line and they almost hit you, that means you're too close. Like that's the nature of it. Like I'm in front of you. I'm next. You back up.
It's fine. It's fine.
That's nuts. I'm not surprised though. Dude, the amount of times people come to like my COVID tables, like without a mask, or like there was once, oh my God. I remember, this is my last job that I quit because it was a shit show anyway. Like the locations manager, he came to the COVID office. And when he had his mask under his nose, I'm like, oh, can you put that up? Obviously, you're in front of the COVID people, you moron. He was talking and he kept putting it down. And at one point, he pulls his mask down a little bit and like itches his nose like this. And I feel like a knuckle went up his nose. And I was like, ugh. And I looked over at my manager. So he's talking to my supervisor, and the manager was like next to me. And I also heard her go, ooh, a little bit. And I had to turn away. I had to turn around and pretend I was doing something. Because I'm just silently laughing because he's still there talking to us. And I think he knew a little bit because like he stuttered for a second and then kind of wrapped it up. It was just like, and you could see me clearly laughing. Like my shoulders were shaking. I wasn't doing anything. And just some people are just so like, they lack self-awareness so much. That like the amount of like unmasked people again near the COVID people. I've seen someone like, almost cough near the food. I'm like, put the fucking mask on. Like, you know where we are?
Wild. Absolutely,
it's
fucking
crazy.
Wild.
It's crazy how like audacious some people are.
It's just entitlement. People genuinely feel like they're entitled to whatever they want. It is their God-given rights to be able to not wear a mask, to not be vaccinated. And it's
I mean, it's true for us, but not for other people. Like, we're the main characters. You guys are just weirdos.
Yeah, you really are the side characters in our plot. Yeah. Tree number three.
Really, honestly. If the credits were rolling, you're annoying, like, coworker. That's, you don't get a name in my story.
I want to write a script so someone can just be annoying bitch number one.
Yeah. But like, and refer to them as name. Like,
yes.
If like a real life conversation we had, it just like ugly fucking idiot, dumb bitch. It's two characters. Well, I'm Dakota, so I wonder who you are. Cast them to look like them.
Holy shit. All right. Let's take a very, very quick break. And we're back.
Hello.
That was really difficult to do with my voice. I don't know if you saw like the little like fish.
I did. It gave me like Finding Nemo, like when Dory's talking to whales.
Bro.
Hello.
So like 3 or 4 weeks ago, I went through this weird laughing fit because I kept watching the scene from Nemo.
Dude, that's so good.
It's so fucking good. And it's so wild. And it's so real. Like, it didn't click as my head. We're watching an initiation. Like, this is.
It is.
Full-fledged exactly. Initiation.
It's so great.
I am just having the time of my life watching it because I think it's on YouTube. You can watch it. And I think I'm showing Tyler again. And it's like, holy fuck. This is so funny for no goddamn reason.
Oh, it's beautiful. That's hilarious. I love
it. Man. Thank you for reminding me of that very, very good scene.
It's such a good scene.
God. Jesus Christ. Bro, so I went back to, I told you I was back in Ohio for the graduation.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I stayed in a hotel for a couple of days, was with my parents and others, went up to Marysville. You know, I was ripping and running because everyone wanted to see me, which is.
Oh, you're so popular. Oh, wow. Good for you.
Oh my God. Why does everyone keep saying that? I don't know why.
Something about me. I don't know. I'm just a magnet. Everyone wants to be me.
But I realized, first of all, with the new car, that, you know, I usually don't like doing that long drive. But with the new car, it's not as bad.
What car do you have?
It is a Kia Sorento.
Oh, okay.
Sorento. Sorviento. Sargento cheese.
Yep, there it is.
Salamander.
Yo, there it is. There, that's it for real.
Salamander.
It's the Kia Salamander.
Kia Salamander. Kia Salve. I think it's Sorrento. I can't honestly remember the name.
Move on. I don't know where that came from. Kind of forgot we were recording for a second there. Sorry, bro. That was the demons. I don't know.
No, I was just going to say, like, there's a lot. I don't know when the last time you've been to Ohio has been. Uh-huh. Like, campus area has changed so much.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, I think last time I was there was maybe November.
Like, yeah. Jesus. Like, as we were walking around, we went to, we went down, like, near, like, the North Market, because Nico wanted to take her graduation photos at Goodell Park over there.
Okay.
So I went to the escape room and talked to some people, and we went into North Market. I got my, this is officially a promotion for Lan Viet in North Market. If you want some good pho, bro, that shit is delicious.
It is fucking good. Oh, you like that one, buddy? Okay, Chuckles, come on back.
It's not that funny. It's not that funny, but it's so funny.
I thought you were going to say Hot Chicken Takeover.
Oh, no. She's not a big...
Yeah, that's right. You're with other people.
Yeah. But, like, for example, I forgot that there's a Target on High Street now.
Oh, yeah, the one by campus, yeah.
Because that wasn't a thing when I was there in school. Like, that happened after I graduated.
It opened my senior year.
So, like, that was fucking wild. And, like, so many more apartments are right there on High Street and, like, in that surrounding area. Like, high-rise apartments, bougie-ass apartments. CCT, so their theater. So, like, it's just kind of an empty, blank, colorful space in between these two bars. Like, Columbus is just evolving so much. And it was so interesting to see. Because the last time I've been back to Ohio was... Christmas. But I didn't go explore shit. I went and saw my family. That's what I did. So it was the first time really since I think since I've lived in Indiana that I've gone to, like, see the changes. So now I'm interested. The next time I go back, I really want to take a look at Whitehall and, like, my actual stomping grounds. I want to see my high school.
Yeah,
I want to look at my first apartment that we lived in when we moved to Columbus. And because apparently Whitehall is becoming, like, this very popular urban space that, like, many, like, families and people are coming to move and live in because it's actually affordable. And they just got $250,000 grant from the Blue Jackets Foundation. So they're going to build a skating rink in Whitehall.
Wow.
Yeah. That's, like,
exciting.
All of these exciting developments that are happening in a city. And I'm like, holy shit. But what has been kind of disheartening is I've been looking at some of the articles about some of this exciting stuff that's happening. And so many people who are, like, my age or older are trash talking Whitehall because these opportunities weren't afforded to them when they were younger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, I can understand that, like, just feeling, like, wronged and being upset. Like, you know, honestly, the jealousy of, like, something you just couldn't have. But it sucks. Because, I mean, you always want the next generation of kids to have it better for you.
See, that's the thing. We always want the next generation of kids to have it better. But that's not the philosophy I feel like a lot of people, especially as they're getting older, actually have.
I mean, it's the same thing with the student loan stuff when people be like, well, I had to pay. All these people had to pay. They feel, like, so scorned that, like, if I had a bad, other people should have it bad, which is you know, as we all know, is a very American train of thought too. I mean, it's probably happens to other countries, but it's very prevalent in the US of that, like, everyone should suffer because I suffered. It's, you know, it's sad. And also, I think there's probably like a present fear of like families that have lived in Whitehall might get pushed out as people move in, as always happens.
Yeah.
So hopefully it hasn't happened. Oh, America.
Oh, America.
Yeah, because you know all those new apartments in Columbus are expensive as fuck. So the only people that are going to live there are kids with like rich parents that can help, you know, pay their rent.
Absolutely. I mean, everything in America is just expensive right now. This is how it is across the board.
No, there are definitely people in college that used to like complain to me. They were like, oh, I can't go, like, my so-and-so and dad can't help pay my rent this month, so I got to do this. I'm like, how much is your rent? It's like $200 less than mine. They're still getting help for it. And I'm like, I have no pity for you. I don't care even a little bit.
I don't
bit.
Like you no more.
Yeah, it's like you're the bad guy in the story for me. Yeah.
That's fair. And I realize how capitalistic just our society is as I'm looking through a lot of my advertisements on like Facebook and social media. Mm-hmm. Because while this is not something I've directly researched or ever really talked about, everyone knows, obviously, you know, I have my company that helps produce the show, and we're producing a new podcast that'll come out June 7th called Creep It 100. So a lot of my advertisements have been targeted towards how to make money off of your podcast and like how to increase the revenue streams. And I'm like, this is so interesting because is it something that I've thought about? Yes, obviously, like having the money is what will help pay the bills to continue to produce the art that I want to produce. But a lot of these advertisements also target on, this is why your show is failing. This is why you're not making the money you want. And it's like, to me, making money doesn't determine the success of this show. Yeah. It won't determine the success of Creepy 100. Like, I'm not doing these shows for the money. You know, you and I did this show because really this was just our way of surviving through a pandemic and kind of telling our story. Mm-hmm. Years, or I guess over a year ago when we started, we had no idea what the fuck was going to come of this show. Yeah. You know, it was just a fun project for us to start that blew up into something bigger. And now Creep 100 is my opportunity to give back and help more young artists share their talent with the world. And that's what I love about it. It's about collaborating with artists and telling their stories and being able to help make that happen. It's wonderful to me. Mm-hmm. The money is a side benefit if it happens.
Yeah.
But I'm perfectly content with what we do.
Do you remember, I think it was the meeting before this season, we had to restructure like Avdoxia's plan, and we told her, well, you know, we're not making that much. And she was like, I was never under the impression that the show was making money. we were just broke. It was so funny.
I mean,
she's in a very loving way, but I was like, damn, bro. Yeah. But no, like to everything you said, like this was born out of a passion project of you and I to connect while we were 600 miles away from each other, you know? And it's, yeah, we try to have fun. Yeah, we try to have like important talks that we like hope people listen to. But like, we both know that, I was going to say, like, well, if we had zero listeners, we'd be like, damn, bro. But like, if only like our friends listen, which is really like the case most of the time, like, we're okay with that. Like, it's just us being able to like share thoughts with each other and the people that like are in our lives. And if other people care to listen, we love that. Welcome. Unless you're a weirdo, you're too close to us in the supermarket, then fuck off, you weirdo. Like, how'd you even get here? Like, why are you even alive actually?
But oh my God.
That was a respectful jump. Like, that's fair. Like, we can all see my thought process there. But I mean, I think that's just like society of like, there's like this big push that everyone has to like monetize their hobbies, like streaming, like, oh, I want to be a streamer. I want to get like famous playing games, which is cool. Like, everyone wants to be famous doing something they actually love. Like the idea of like, you know, that's why people like play sports, like these 20-year-olds who put in thousands of hours, maybe hundreds of thousands of hours. I don't know the math of how long 100,000 hours is in days. So someone could do that. But like, you know, like these people that really put in a ton of time and energy to play a game professionally, why not love that? But I feel like that's not the case for most people. So I should be able to also have my day-to-day job and then have a hobby that I can enjoy, or like a project like this I can just enjoy without the pressure of like, you know, if I'm not making money on this, then why am I doing it? You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like,
and because it's hard. Like, I think,
yeah,
that's one of the things I learned about this season in particular. You know, season one, I think the focus was just like, let's just make the content. And I think for me, because I started the company, like there was, I kind of created this internal dialogue and this kind of internalized pressure to be like, I have to be at a certain point because, you know, now I have people that I'm paying to do this. So I'm trying to be respectful of people's times and wishes when it comes to helping us produce the art that we do. So, you know, there was kind of that added pressure of like, it has to be at least at a certain point that there's some income coming in. You know, and I mean, the difference between season one to what we did this season to me is astronomical. Yeah. I mean, just like the stories that we've been able to tell, bringing in all of these guests that we've had on our show, being able to meet some of your friends that you made in New Jersey and getting to hear their stories, bringing on our executive producer and having him talk about his identity when it comes to like being an artist and like navigating the theatrical spaces, being able to produce my own fucking game show series and
meeting one of my I like in the moment it's like, oh, it was really cool that we're doing this, but looking back, like the stuff we did, like fucking interviewing people that have actually like been on TV, you know, like, and again, like he is our friend, but we interviewed like the stage manager for a Broadway tour. Like, that's crazy. Like the stuff we actually have on our page, like, cause there's some times I'm like, damn, okay, I'm just on a podcast, but like we've done some cool stuff with our show. And like, exciting things
in the season with like,
yeah,
basically no budget, right? It's really just been us making this happen.
Yo, we've been bleeding money this show.
Like, yeah. I am so genuinely proud to like have this body of art.
Mm-hmm. We got $500 donated to a halfway house for kids. Like,
dude, oh my god, we did a fucking charity stream. Oh my god, yes, like
we gave $500 to Huckleberry House.
Holy shit, we have done so much. And I
that's insane.
We really did that, bro.
We really, like, we should be really proud of ourselves for that. Like, regardless of like not streams, we got like the amount of fun we've had with the show this season, and you know, the good we did with this season with like with Huckleberry House. Like, how many small shows do that kind of stuff? Or commit this long to this many. Well, this is our 49th episode.
I don't know. I lost count. We'll
fix it in post. Yeah, we'll fix our episode count in post. Maybe if it's not, we'll do like a 5-minute episode next week of like, hey, this is our 50th episode. We just want to make sure we got it. Fuck you. Bye.
That's very old brand.
Give me $1,000. Or donate it directly to your favorite charity. Let us know. But yeah, we've done some crazy stuff. Two kids from Ohio State.
We've come a long way from those $30 mics that we first bought on Amazon. Bro,
yeah.
And me and just cobbling the audio together in Audacity.
I was in a fucking like closet. I had to keep like moving my bike out every day. It's actually a nice apartment. I do miss that apartment.
Like, bro, we've evolved and we've grown. And this was like a great conversation to have for our final episode for the season, to kind of look back and reminisce.
Yeah,
because some of that stuff I kind of forgot.
We did. You'll be a kiss.
What the fuck? What?
I don't know.
What?
I'm getting sentimental. I'm sorry. No, yeah, it's just been such a long season. I forgot we did like. Yeah, the interviews. Me and Jamal, which is really exciting.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was so
cool. Oh my god, we haven't had an in-person interview. Yes, we had Jamal here. Oh my god.
Yeah, we had an in-person interview, yeah.
Holy shit. Gosh.
We have really done a lot. And the mini-series, like you said, like we've set ourselves up to make like Key 100 as like a production company as well. like with Creepy 100. So I'm super excited for like those first episodes come out so I can actually like listen to them. Hopefully one time I can be on and actually meet the crew. It's been fucking nuts. Yeah.
I feel a little teary-eyed thinking about this new show. Like, you have no idea how excited I am to release this, because I think these three, Mark, Kinson, Jeanette, I think they're just fantastic human beings. And when I think about how we got here, right? Yeah. This was from, especially, and I don't know if I've ever talked about this, but me meeting Mark, this was back in 2017.
Okay.
So I was in a relationship with a very emotionally abusive partner. This is like probably the lowest point I've ever been in my life in 27 years of existence. And you know, so I'm working at this movie theater because my degree had been like delayed because of an incident at Ohio State, and I couldn't graduate in the summer. And I needed just to do something in that meantime until I could get my degree in the winter. And, you know, it's just a $10 an hour job. But I remember Mark's passion when he would talk about horror movies and his excitement about this industry.
And you met him at the movie theater?
Yeah, I met him at the movie theater. Oh, I worked. Yeah, he used to work in, so there's like a I guess a restaurant kind of sort of like grill area.
Yeah, yeah.
So he used to be one of the workers in there. And so when I was just the manager, yeah, he was one of the employees I used to manage.
Okay. That's why his name seems familiar. I feel like it's popped up in stories before.
It's so fascinating because it was such a brief moment in my life. Like I do think about the people at that movie theater, also almost name dropped that, but I don't talk about it a lot. It's the only job I ever walked out of because the general manager kind of treated me like shit. I
remember that story.
But it's so wild to me that like that brief experience, and then years later, like seeing how he has grown and seeing the career that he has been building for himself and all these experiences that he's had.
It's awesome.
And just, you know, sending a message on Facebook and being like, would you be interested in doing this? I'm looking to produce a show. Would you be wanting to do this? And him and the team having production meetings, sitting down, creating this format. And like, it is all very structured. So, you know, the first week, you know, they talk about, yes, I can release this. Okay. I wanted to make sure I'm not giving out any early details.
Yeah, yeah.
But like the first week, you know, it's going to be them reviewing a classic horror movie of some sort, right? The second week is going to be those like paranormal stories, you know, where the real life stories that are shared within the world. And then that third and fourth is going to be some very interesting kind of, I guess, hodgepodge is the best way to put it, you know? And so like each person kind of has their area of expertise that they'll run. And they all have different varying levels of like how they were introduced into the horror community. And I don't know. It's so fascinating to hear that passion and like hearing them interact and talk with each other about this. It's, you know, especially after seeing them in action recording the episode, I feel so lucky to be in the room and hear it. And I can't wait for you to hear it. I can't wait for you to meet them. I can't wait for the world to hear this. And I'm just so proud. I'm so proud that you and I are building this legacy. We're building a network. We're building our company, you know, and I found a new passion. I didn't know I'd like producing so much. I had no idea.
That's what I really liked with the lab series is, you know, because I got to, even though I originally took the job from Constance and Zach, was because I wanted to produce my own stuff. Then I realized I really like putting on other people's shows. Like I like seeing other people create art, you know, there's nothing more exciting and like, faster than watching people or listening to people talk about something they're passionate about, you know, or the stories they create. Of course, some of them are bad, but like some are like really great. And like when people like really get into something they're really into, you learn something, you know, like it's always exciting. That's really why I love it. And why I'm excited to like keep doing this with you, you know, this production aspect. And because, you know, then we can produce other stuff together, whether we like, because I already know, like, I'm writing, like, shorts and stuff that are like, hey, Chorsey, we're producing this. You don't have to do anything, but I'll front up most of the money, but I want to put the name on it, you know? Like, absolutely. I want stuff to be under our show. So, Yeah, it's exciting.
It's so exciting. I can't believe we're actually doing this. Like, it just, it's so wild. There are so many new exciting things that I'm looking to bring in the future. And I just can't wait to explore those options. It feels good. You know, we normally do our check-in at the beginning of the episode, but like, I genuinely feel at a good place in my life right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I mean, I'm as stressful as this job is, like how much time consuming it is, like I'm making good connections and like making good survivable money for the first time in my life. You know, everything else was like minimum wage and like having to work my ass off. But this, like, I'm still working my ass off. At least I'm being paid to reflect the effort I got to put in, like the responsibility for it. So, it's exciting. It's, yeah. Oh, I love it. Like, we're actually making, you know, our lives in the arts. You know, whether it's not exactly theater, we're still using the skills we learned, you know, at school, at our tiny little department, and making it work, you know?
Well, and to be fair, I also always knew that, like, I knew my life trajectory was never going to be towards Broadway.
Yeah.
And, you know, we talked about this before. I knew that wasn't where I wanted to go in life. But it's nice that I feel like I found a groove and a path of like, oh, I know what I'm doing and I know how to make this to get me to where I do want to be in the future. And I see that path clearer now than ever. So it's nice.
Yeah. Wow. When you said you were 27 earlier, I was like, damn, we're old. Because I like, still feel like, you know, even though like years are passing, I still feel like, you know, it's us in college. Like, I mean, the way we've been friends hasn't changed since then. Mm-hmm. We've just gotten older. But it's the same. So I was like, you're 27, bro?
I am.
I was like, aren't you a couple years older than me? I was like, I'm 25? I mean, the pandemic, honestly. The pandemic took years away from us.
Yeah, so it literally that. Did. Yeah.
So maybe that's why. I'm only going to be 23. I'll tell my future kids I'm 23 because that's all they know. I'll start lying on my birth certificate.
Wait, what? You're going to tell them you're 23? What is happening?
Oh, wait. I'll tell them I'm 2 years younger than I am.
Yes. Okay.
I'll be like 40. Like, I'm 23. Like, no, the fuck you want, Dad. I'm like, prove it. You can't even read, asshole.
Jesus Christ. Wow. Honestly? That feels like nice.
That is a nice sentimental way to.
With you calling your kids assholes. Yes.
They're going to be. They're going to be like me. Serial.
No, this feels like a great point for us to close the book on a season. Job well done, sir.
Couldn't do without you, buddy.
And for all of you lovely people, thank you for supporting and listening and giving us your money and sharing and tweeting. I like the support for this season and this show has been tremendous. And we are going to take some time away as we rebuild and reconstruct and configure to bring you season 3 and figure out what that looks like next.
Yeah, where the show goes.
I feel a little scared because I'm already like, I feel like we've reached new heights with season 2 and now we have to keep like...
Yeah, it's definitely something we're gonna have meetings about, like talks of like where do we want the show to go from here, what is it going to become. Mm-hmm. So I don't think either of us, we definitely don't want this to end. We love the show, and
right,
and it's exciting with the producing aspect too. So we're gonna put in some like effort into this. Not that we haven't been putting in effort, but we're gonna put in a lot of like time and energy into this reconstruction of what season 3 is gonna look like.
So I would just say, you know, just stay up to date on our social media at keep it 100 pod_pod, I think. Just so you know, you'll get announcements when we start releasing stuff. We have a new website, so I should clarify, we were using ki100pod.com. now that we're a fully realized production company, and we have another show, I can't keep buying new URLs for every single show.
Smart. I told you, this is bleeding us dry.
So if you go to keepit100prod.com, keepit100prod, it'll be in the episode description, but like you'll be able to go to the show section and you'll be able to read information about Keep It 100 and Creep It 100. I'm also going to take this time to promote the Creepy 100 social. So
hell yeah.
Follow them on a Creepy 100 pod on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter to stay up to date. They released their first episode on June 7th.
That's
and, you know, during the meantime in which Dakota and I are away from doing our show, go support them. They're going to have a fantastic time and you're going to love what you hear from them. I guarantee it. What is that from? You're going to love what I guarantee. What is that slogan from?
Oh, is that Billy? No, it's not Billy.
God.
Oh, my God. Fuck? I feel it. I feel it. I feel like it's just like My Pillow Guy.
Oh, God, please don't be.
I don't know. I hope not. It's probably, you know what? It's probably like such a, like that. The way you said it, we use so many times in infomercials and like car like advertisements. Like one from like Colorado's always stuck in my head is like, nobody beats a Deal and Doug deal. Nobody. I think that every couple of weeks. I'm like, where'd that come from? Was that God? But yeah.
Bro, our thing at work has been the Liberty Bibbity.
Liberty Bibbity. Yo, that's so funny. But yes, it's an exciting show. Horror themed. You can't pick that up from Creepy 100. So it's going to be kind of scary. You better watch out. Scared like boo. So.
But yeah. Yes. Thank y'all. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you all and, so much for this last year and a half. And we're looking forward. It's a new season.
All right, y'all. Take care.
Cue music.
I can't find the button.
Wait, I need to add in the ad. We'll add this in. Remember to keep it nasty and keep it 100. Cue music.
Thanks so much for listening to another episode of Keep It 100 with Dakota and Chorsey. We want to welcome to the Keep It 100 family our amazing executive producer, Zachary J. Bailey, and our talented audio editor, Evdoxia Ragu.
We would also like to thank our dear, dear friend, Isri Vijay Sundara, for all of her support on our show. Remember to keep it nasty and keep it 100.